May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So I end up at different clergy groups and prayer gatherings and things like that where sometimes I'm the only Episcopalian, right? Maybe you know that experience and folks just kind of look at you. You're a what now? You're an Episcopal? No, that, like, let's talk about parts of speech and how we do. No, that's another thing. But, like, for clergy, right, there's always this talk about when did you know you were called? Right, when did you feel? And then they learn, like, I had a previous career, right, like, which isn't always the norm. And so then they're like, when did you know? So I tell them, it's kind of like that scene in Matthew, right, where Jesus goes to these fishermen and he tells them, he's like, you know, you fish for fish, repent and follow me and you'll fish for people. And right, so my previous career used to be marketing and business development for lawyers and law firms. And so Jesus came into my office one day and said, Alan, you shill for lawyers, repent and return and shill for the Lord. I see some lawyers out there laughing, so we're in good, right? Like, I have a bumper sticker in my office that says, I love lawyers, so no hard feelings. But I think that's kind of what gets us with passages like this, is we look for that moment, right? Where Jesus walks up to us and says, drop your nets, leave everything behind. Your life has changed, repent and follow me. And so we think it's a once and for all, a one-time thing. That whether it's being called to something, whether it's when we find Jesus, right? That's something that gets asked of people, particularly in this part of the country. When were you saved? Right? So we read passages like this and we think there has to be a moment in which it happens. And we hear those stories of people who have those moments. I collect Bibles. If you go into my office, I've got about a million of them. One of them is this tiny little Gideon's Bible, right? I stole it from a hotel, I'm sure, at some point. And in here, I don't know what 10-year-old Alan was doing. But in the back, right, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior, right, there's a thing. 10-year-old Alan signed it and dated it November 17th, 1989. That date means nothing to me. I had, like, a perfect childhood as a 10-year-old. Like, I don't know what. So I was not saved on November 17th, 1989, even though I signed my name that I was. Right? There's not a moment. Some of you have stories of moments where you knew, you encountered Jesus, and you remember the day and the hour. Those stories are real, and those stories are powerful. And those stories are true. But some of you maybe have a story like mine in which you encountered Jesus as a 13-year-old baby in the waters of baptism, where there's nothing you did or could do. And it's been a continual process of finding and being found by Jesus ever since. Those stories are powerful and those stories are true. Or maybe you have a story of wrestling, a story of questioning, a story of bargaining, a story of back and forth with God throughout your life. If so, you're in good company. Just look at people like Jacob in the scriptures. Those stories are real. Those stories are powerful. Those stories are true. So whatever you call it, being found by Jesus, finding Jesus, being saved, whatever that moment is, I don't think it's ever just a moment. Because there's as many stories of finding Jesus as there are people in the world, because it's unique to every single one of us. How we encounter Christ, how Christ encounters us. Even for those folks who you have that moment, that Damascus moment, that drop your nets moment, that life-changing moment, that is just the start of something. Because your life is full of moments after that. The point isn't how it happens. The point isn't when it happens. The point really isn't even why it happens. A lot of us are brought to that moment. To me, I think the important thing is the point is that it happens. Both in the moment but also in the moments that follow. Because even when we encounter Christ in a new and earth-shattering way, we then have to make a decision to follow Christ. And that brings with it its own moments as we go along the way. Because we are always being converted, we're always being shaped, we're always being formed by Jesus. Right? It happened with the disciples, right? With Peter and Andrew and all of them. It happened just in Matthew, the gospel we'll be reading this year. It happened in the preaching of the Beatitudes. It happened in the feeding of the 5,000. It happened in the healing of the sick. It happened in the people raised from the dead. It happened in the teaching of the parables. It happened when Peter complained that we've left everything behind. So Peter had this moment where Jesus said, "Do this," and Peter did it. And then a couple years later, Peter complains about it. I don't know any Christians that complain about anything. Or it happens when James and John argue over who has it better. James and John, who were called by Jesus, told to give up what they had and follow Jesus for what they could be. A couple years later, they're arguing. Their mom gets involved. They're arguing over who is the greatest. Again, I don't know any followers of Jesus who ever argue about anything. Every one of those moments is a turning point in the life of the disciples. They see something new about Jesus, they learn something new about God, and they learn something new about themselves in each of those moments. And each of those moments echo with the words of Jesus from today's gospel. Jesus really says two things in today's gospel. He says, "Repent and follow me." And those two words really are two sides of the same coin. We hear repentance and we think it means to say I'm sorry. We think it's a moral decision, which there's an aspect of that that's true. But repentance means to turn around, to change direction. And so if we make that choice to follow Jesus, it necessarily means we change directions. It means we repent. Maybe it means repent of absolutely fine things, but not Jesus things. Repent and follow me. Repenting and following Jesus is a turning point in our lives. It's a moment that we change direction. It's a moment we choose a new road. It's a moment that we follow. And these turning points in our lives bring us face to face with Jesus in many different ways. Sometimes these turning points are planned and are expected. Other times they come out of nowhere and we're not ready. Sometimes these turning points bring joy and celebration. Other times it's just sorrow and grief. Sometimes these turning points reaffirm everything we've thought to be true. Other times they make us question whether anything we've ever believed is real. These turning points always come with a decision to repent and to follow. Think about the turning points in your life. Times when, for better or worse, expected or unexpected, your life was turned around. Your life changed directions. Like the time you failed out of college. Or the time you finally graduated by the skin of your teeth and got your first job. The time your dad died. The time your children were born. The time you got divorced. Or the time you fell in love. Those are just a couple of my turning points. And that list could go on and on and on. And you could add yours to the list as well. You have those moments, for better or worse, when your life changed direction. And they're all different, they're all unique, they're all individual to us, but the one thing they have in common is that Jesus meets us in those moments and offers us the invitation to turn and to follow. But each of those turning points also comes with the hope and the expectation that Jesus is there and Jesus doesn't leave us where he finds us. Jesus found these two fishermen and said, "Leave your nets, because you're not just a fisherman. You will now fish for people. You will now become who you were meant to be." And Jesus meets us in our moments, where maybe we're asked to lay things aside. Maybe we're asked to make hard decisions. Maybe we're asked to wrestle with the reality that we don't want to believe. And Jesus says, "Leave that. Turn and follow me and become more of who God created you to be." That's what Jesus did for Peter and Andrew and James and John. And my hope and prayer is that's what Jesus does for me and for you. In these turning points in our lives, Christ makes and remakes us into who we are meant to be. So what's the turning point in your life today? Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you know what you need to do. Or maybe you'll walk out there and be confronted with something that you don't know how to deal with. But in each of those moments, in all of those moments, Jesus is there. Welcoming, inviting, commanding us to turn and follow him. Amen.